Good evening, everybody. I'm going to call the Desert Healthcare District Board meeting to order. And I'm going to ask Andrea Hales to please call the roll.
Director Shore.
Present.
Director Borja.
Here.
Director Perez.
Here.
Director Rogers.
Here.
Director Matthews.
Here.
Vice President Navarro.
Here.
And President Sandoval.
Here. And I'd like to ask Director Villar to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
You could all please join me in saluting our nation's flag. I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, and justice for all.
Do I hear a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The agenda is approved. At this point in the meeting, we will have public comment on items that are not on the agenda. During this period, speakers are limited to no more than 3 minutes. The board cannot take action on items not listed on the agenda. And as I said before, public input may be offered on agenda items when they come up later. So that would be it. And are there any public comments on items not on the agenda? Yes.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, Directors. I'm Gary Robinson from Medical Health. I just wanted to mention that a week ago we had a press conference to do the ribbon cutting on our latest site of care, which is inside the Martha's Individual Kitchen in Indio. It is our smallest, but yet it's one of the most important sites of care that we have because of the services that will be provided to not only the clients of Martha's Kitchen Village, but also to the surrounding neighborhood. We have three exam rooms, we have about 2,000 square feet. In the treatment room, and it'll be an important part of the network that we continue to build out throughout the Coachella Valley. Once our new clinic in Coachella is completed in a little over a year, we'll be providing transportation to it from that site, since the specialty care that we provide in Coachella as well as finishing x-rays, etc. But just wanted to note for you of this latest addition, which is the 42nd facility that we have, the 28th site of our care, along with seven mobile sites of care, five pharmacies, and a partridge in a pear tree. I know a number of the directors have expressed an interest in having a tour. We're going to be providing one for Dr. Zara and for Ms. Finney coming up in January. I'm delighted to help to schedule tours for anybody from the board who would like to come see our facility, as well as the other important services that provide more through social kitchen, as well as the general public. So thank you for your time and of course your support after your care.
Thank you so much. Are there any other public comments on items not on the agenda? We will then move on to the consent agenda, which includes minutes from both the closed meeting and the board of directors meetings from November 26th. Do I hear a motion to accept the consent agenda?
So moved.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Consent agenda is adopted. I'm going to now turn the meeting over to our legal counsel, Jeffrey G. Scott, who will take the next item on the agenda.
Okay, so it's that time of year again.
Need a mic. Mic.
Okay. It's that time of year again when we elect board officers. And so the process is as follows. Basically, I'm going to open it up for nominations. And anybody can nominate anybody. The first office will be for president. And then after we receive all the nominations, I'm going to pass out ballots to each of you. And you can mark up who you like. And then I will collect the ballots and announce what each director, in keeping with transparency, announce who each director votes for. So you got it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so nominations are open.
Am I called?
Because you're calling people.
Okay.
You're calling?
It's your meeting.
I nominate Director DeLara for president.
Alright, do we have any other nominations? Yes, sir.
I'd like to nominate Mr. Zundel for president.
Alright. Any further nominations? Okay, nominations are closed. And so now I'm going to pass out ballots.
Bear with me. Yvette.
Thank you.
Carol. Mark. Les. Hopefully I have one for everybody. Leticia. Okay. Karen. Mr. Shore. Okay. Then you're going to give them to me.
Director Matthews.
All right. Any other nominations?
Sure you don't mind.
Okay, nominations are closed. Can I get a motion in a second?
So moved.
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, we're done.
Okay, I'm now going to return to the CEO for the healthcare district. CEO report, Dr. Bartzega.
I have two items in my report. Number one is the workshop on board staff communication, which is related to implementing or revising, reviewing policies in light of the district pursuing certification. And the second, and that is going to take place on January 23rd at 4 p.m. at the district office. The second item that I want to report on is the community health needs assessment. We are reviewing the proposals. The three reviewers have completed their review process, and we will be conducting site visits, interviews over the next 2 weeks.
I read a little louder.
Will be presented to the board at the next board meeting in January, on January 28th. Thank you.
Okay. Michelle Finney, the Desert Regional Medical Center CEO report.
I will speak very loud. I want to share with you that we've had some pretty busy days.
You can use this.
We've had some pretty busy days at the hospital. We have officially entered into flu season. Our flu-like illnesses that are presenting are pretty similar to what we experienced last year at this time. The only change is last year we were seeing a lot of influenza A, and this year we're seeing a lot of influenza B. So we do expect that this will continue for the next several weeks. In keeping with the holiday spirit, we've had some charitable giving that the employees in the facility have been participating in. And I'm kind of pleased to let you know that we actually distributed or donated 628 turkeys to the Fine Food Bank to be used over the holiday season. And that was from both Desert Regional and JFK. In addition, we had another 72 turkeys that were donated from our High Desert facility up at the weigh station in High Desert, as well as the Palms High School Interact Club that's sponsored by the Lowell Rotary. So we have a total of about 700 turkeys that we have given to the community for those in need over the holiday. In addition to that, today we did our donation to some of our local senior facilities, skilled nursing facilities, senior clubs, for blankets, clothing, books, eyeglasses, slippers, socks, items that seniors might be in need of that may not have as many family resources through the period. From a technology standpoint, we have some new technology that we're putting in place in the month of December that I thought you might be interested in. It is a technology that is a patient self-service tool for the uninsured and the underinsured, where an individual can text a number. They get sent on their phone about 8 screening questions. They answer those questions. That'll assist them in understanding if they may be eligible for a government program or for a charity discount at the facility. And if it leads in that direction, then the individual is connected with the patient advocate that will help secure them that assistance. And then the last item I wanted to share with you is Desert Regional did receive a couple of recognitions this last month. We were notified by the State of California Health and Human Services Agency that DRMC is one of the 134 hospitals across the state of California that have received honors for achieving high performance standards in maternity care. And we are also one of the 60 facilities across the state of California that achieve the performance standards in opioid care. And I think that the maternity, has a lot to do with being a baby-friendly organization, your C-section rates, and your birth outcomes. On the opioid award, that has to do with the fact that you work with the patient to try to identify and treat the underlying addiction illness in addition to what those initial presenting symptoms might be. In addition, we did recertify our ACGME accreditation, and that's what makes us a teaching institution in the Valley. And in the Valley, we also recertified with DMV our advanced stroke stats. And that's it for me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item we will be passing over because there was the governing board of the hospital meeting is this Thursday, and so we will not be reporting on this month's meeting. I'm going to return over to Finance, Legal Administration, and Real Estate Committee. You really don't have any report either because the meeting was canceled.
Yeah, we didn't have a meeting. We're ahead of budget.
Okay. Now I'm going to turn to the Program Committee. Chair Director Rogers.
Thank you. You have in your packet the minutes of the Program Committee to review. We had a good meeting, a good turnout, and I'll take any questions if you have any. Hearing none.
Okay, thank you. The Hospital Lease Oversight Committee, again, is not has not occurred until, and is scheduled for this Thursday. We will be reporting on that at the next meeting. So now we're going to move to old business, and there is none, and so we will move to new business.
Excuse me, Dr. Beckham, we do have a grant request on the foundation.
Yeah. All right, we're going to move to new business, and the first item is consideration to approve a budget to produce and publish district and foundation history book. Who wants to present that?
That's me. Hi. So I am very excited to bring our district history book project to you. Some of you may recall that in September 2018, our communications and marketing plan included recording the district's 70 plus years history as a tool to raise awareness about the district. So in your packet is a staff report that supports that and also a service agreement for the writer that we're recommending. Jeff Pryor of Palm Desert. He's written on the Valley history in a couple of books. He's a former journalist and has great credentials. And actually interviewed three different writers, professional history writers, and this is the one that Chris and I are recommending for.
Are there any questions from the board?
I have a question. While I think that having a history book is a good idea. But my question is that are we doing this in combination with an annual report? I haven't seen an annual report from the district and foundation in several years, and I'm wondering if they can be combined.
We were planning to do an annual report in addition to the history book. We can certainly explore combining them. That's not something that we've already talked about.
I think the history book really should stand on its own. Too many people don't know the history of the district, confuse the district with the regional hospital, which is nothing wrong with that. But we did see a history that was done for Grossmont Hospital, which also was that district, healthcare district, and it is leased to Sharp.
Yeah.
And it was very nicely done, and it really does put everything in perspective. So I think we should be doing annual reports anyway, or if not an annual report, then at least an every three-year report that lays out our strategic goals and where we are and what our plans are and things like that. But I think those are two separate things. So I certainly support the proposal. Any other comments?
I have a question. Okay, so does this cost not to exceed $45,000, does that include a certain number of copies or no?
So the project is really in several different phases. There's the research and the writing, there's the graphic design, there's Spanish translation, and then the printing. So up to $45,000 would actually cover just about 350 books, but we would have the template to print at any time in the future. And what I'm really excited about is, I mentioned the Spanish translation, but this is also going to be done in a format where it can live on the website. So anyone can be aware of the history.
Thank you.
Other questions?
I'm assuming you don't have photos?
Photos? Well, that's going to be one of the challenges of the writer. So it's really, even how the book turns out and what it looks like is really going to be up to what the writer can find. We're a little bit different. We're unique in that we don't provide direct services to people, so our history is a little bit challenging to tell. But Jeff feels like he's really up to the challenge.
But we certainly have historical photos of the healthcare district and the hospital, and I mean the history is very much intertwined. So.
We have a whole archive room full of old histories and photos that we would be happy to share. But we already don't
know. Yeah, I've spoken with her, the archive.
Thank you.
Happy to cooperate with her.
Any other questions or discussion points on the board? Then let's go ahead and have a roll call.
Director Shore?
Yes.
Director Borja?
Yes.
Director Perez Gale?
Yes.
Director Rogers?
Yes.
Director Matthew?
Sure.
Vice President Kamara?
Yes.
President Ford?
Yes. Okay, the next item is the discussion having to do with the grant proposal agreement for CV Link. And this is how I'd like to work it if this is acceptable to the other members of the board. I'd like legal counsel Scott to give a presentation of the negotiations that occurred to reach the contract agreement. And then I'd like to ask Tom Kirk to make some comments. And then we will call for public comments. And then we will open it up to the board for questions first, and then comments, or you can mix them up if you'd like. Does that sound okay to everybody?
Yes.
Okay. Jeff.
Okay, I'd like to take you back in time, about 6 years ago, when the district and CVAC approved a memorandum of understanding on September 16th, 2013. And it was to provide a funding commitment of $10 million towards the CV Link project. And pursuant to the MOU that the district entered into, the grant was contingent on CVAC obtaining an additional $12.6 million in funding and other conditions. And they included the completion of the environmental impact all environmental approvals, that the funding was tied to the acquisition of a property interest in the easements that were acquired by CVAC for the CV Link route, and that was to ensure that if something happened to CV Link, that there would be the routes would remain open for public health related purposes. Also, a condition was the district was to assume a participatory role in the design of the project and to ensure that public health-related objectives were secured and that the final design and budget were acceptable to the district. In addition, there was to be collaboration between the district and CVAC to determine the long-term health benefits of the project by the development and implementation of a health assessment tool. CVAC, in consideration for this, would leverage the district's commitment for and seek additional funding sources for the project and would represent to prospective funding sources that the district had made this commitment. I think from last count, it's my understanding that they've got over $100 million in commitments thus far. Once these contingencies and conditions have been fulfilled to the satisfaction of the district, the parties would negotiate in good faith grant contract that incorporates the terms and conditions of the MOU and such other terms that the parties would consider. We've been working with CVAC staff on an agreed-upon form of the contract, and I can report to you that on October 28th, 2013, the CVAC committee voted to authorize a commitment of $12.6 million of what are termed MAP 21 matching funds for the $10 million from the district. There was a special meeting. Mr. Kirk appeared at that meeting for a special board meeting, and the board approved the securing of the additional $12.6 million in the funding commitment required by the MOU. special meeting in May of 2017, the CBAG Executive Committee certified the final environmental impact report, and it's also completed all the necessary documents to comply with the NEPA, which is the national equivalent of our California CEQA statutes. And in 2019, they received the final required environmental permit from the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. The requirement of CBAG to make every effort to tie the district funding to acquisition of the property interest required staff and council for CBAG and myself to work on an agreed-upon form of the grant and easement deed. So every easement deed that goes out, there's a condition in there that allows CBAG to grant an easement to the district. And those forms are included in your packet. The other condition was this assuming a participatory role during the design phase and to ensure that the public health-related objectives are secured and that were feasible, connections to schools, health facilities, and the like are adequately accommodated. Over the period beginning in July of 2015 to the present, CBAG has provided the district with approximately 17 quarterly reports, and those reports summarize the status of the project and the work completed during the reporting period. In January 2016, and in April 2017, CBAG made an in-person presentations at the district board, which included the design of the project, the funding statuses, and the status and the benefits of the project. Finally, in 2019, CBAG provided the district a set of the final construction plans, and so that condition is substantially complied with. A condition of the MOU also required the district and CBAG to determine the long-term health benefits of the project by the development and the implementation of a health assessment tool. That still needs to be accomplished and is part of the grant agreement. And that needs to be coordinated with district staff. I think what is important that the MOU provides that once the above-referenced contingencies and conditions have been fulfilled to the satisfaction of the district board, the parties will negotiate in good faith a grant contract that, again, as I said, incorporates the terms outlined in the MOU and any other terms and conditions that are appropriate. The MOU further provides that the grant contract, which it does, includes deliverables and a payment schedule, and the district funding will be utilized on an actual cost reimbursement. And what that means is they will make the payments. Those payments will then, the invoices will be reviewed by staff to see that they're being done, they were satisfied that they're being spent for the proper purposes that were intended, and that such disbursements would occur over a 5 to 6 year period. The MOU also provides that the district board reserves the right to revoke the unexpended financial commitments in the event it becomes necessary to address major district or desert regional medical center related financial obligations. For example, the site and retrofit obligations. Those conditions have all been moved forward and are still part of the grant agreement. In addition, another condition in there is that the district retains the right to terminate the MOU and any amendments made upon 60 days written notice. So, beginning on page 40, the grant agreement is in your board packet for your review. We've structured it in such a way that payments would be made over a 6 year period at approximately $1.67 million per year. And in addition, there's a provision in there that allows us to even renegotiate that longer if necessary. I think that's about it.
Okay. Tom, would you like to say a few words? Get a mic.
Thank you for having us. I concur with the staff report. I'm glad to be here. It's been a long time coming. I've been a partner with the district on this project for 6 or 7 years, and I appreciate the board's patience on this matter and the hard work of staff by the district, the hard work of staff at the CBAG, and the patience of supporters who show up at these meetings every few months supporting the project. Let me just say, my life would be a lot easier if I never heard of the Whitewater River Project. A lot easier. And the term Whitewater River White Project was introduced to me by your former colleague. And Les, you've heard this story before, and I'm going to repeat it for perhaps the new board members. This project would not have existed if not for the Desert Healthcare District calling me and saying, you heard about this bike project down the Whitewater River. There are plans for decades to put a bike project down the Whitewater River, take advantage of that potential right-of-way, provide a public piece of infrastructure to allow people to get out and bike and hike and walk. And Kay stumped me. I hadn't heard about it. I did a little research. And that led to a concept that Kay and I became advocates for, and we approached the late John Benoit. He became a huge advocate for the project as well. And the idea of the project, in some ways, I think of the MOU as CBAG matching your dollars, not you matching ours. In fact, we hatched this idea that if the healthcare district came up with $10 million, see that it come up with $20 million, we go out and find $30 or $40 million from the South Coast Air Quality Management District. And we ended up getting $17.5 million, and that led to more and more and more. We're at about $100 million today, and that's really a testament to the partnership between our two agencies. It's been fantastic, and it will only get better. We're in partners on homelessness as well, and what Kate, I think, saw in this project was the opportunity for both CBAG and the healthcare district to make an investment, a long-term investment in public health, much like the hospital itself is. The healthcare district has done and is continuing to do so much good on programs. The programs come and go. A piece of concrete and steel, 45 miles long, will be here for a long time. It's a major investment, will have major benefit in this valley for a long time to come. And for those of us that, like Kay and I, that hike the mountains, we look down and we see not enough investments like this on our valley floor. So putting this investment down where people live, and they hike, and our kids can go and use this facility is a major contribution to the Scotia Valley. I thank you for putting this on your agenda. I particularly thank Jeff Scott for his hard work on the agenda packet and the contract, along with our own attorney, Michael Jenkins. I fully support the recommendation, and the contract is a fantastic one for both agencies. And we will be building 15 miles of CB Link starting in 2020. So I'd be happy to address any questions. I know the public is here to address you as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Before I open up the public comment, I do want to point out to the board members that in your packet are numerous letters for and against the contract, and we did receive one more today from Mayor Linda Evans from La Quinta supporting the project. So now people have turned in cards for public comment. I'm going to start at the top. If you want to add to that, please fill out a card, and Andrea will give it to me. So the first person that wants to speak is Michael Rosenkranz. By the way, just the rule again is for this, you have up to 5 minutes. And of course, we'd like you to be as brief and succinct as possible.
I will be very succinct. No problem. I'm Mike Rosenkranz. I'm a program director at the Desert Mobility Center, and we do adaptive supports. CB Link is something that we consider to be very important. We do bike rides, cycle rides, the first and third Saturday of every month now, and we really need a safe area, especially given that we use hand cycles and recumbents. So we're in support of this contract.
Thank you. Next public comment is Jerry Alcorn.
How's everybody doing? My name is Jerry Alcorn. Quick history of myself. I'm actually a walking partial paraplegic. Can't feel from the waist down. Got injured out here 6 years ago doing solar fields for the government out of life. In my time being out here, I've lost over 100 pounds now from hand cycling, doing adaptive equipment. I speak for my community, which is a disabled community out here. During this same time, I've also been hit two times on my hand cycle, and once almost Thursday, so almost three times now, from being out here on these safe public roads. I strongly, strongly support the CV Link and what it's going to bring to our community and what we need for, not only for the health of our community, but for the people too, you know? Imagine this, like you see how this gentleman's sitting down. Most bikes you can see at normal height. When this guy is almost twice the height of what I would be in the hand cycle. So imagine that, when you're 3 to 4 inches off the ground, people don't see you. I have flags, I have horns, I have lights. People do not see us. We need a safe path of travel for everybody. Wheelchairs, hand cycles, recumbents, you name it, we need it. Business opportunity also is going to be brought in from this path that we're going to have. It's going to be huge too, a great impact for all the communities. Not only going from Palm Springs, connecting all the way down to Coachella, it's going to be a huge thing for us. So I'm just here speaking in support, saying what's available, what we need, what we have, what we have out here, we could really use it. And thank you for Desert Regional too, they're the ones that helped me get up and get walking again. I got a lot of love for everybody out here. You guys make a great impact on the community. I'm a walking billboard for you guys. Thank you for everything you do, and thank you for your commitment to us as community members. So thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Next speaker, Jim Rothblatt.
Hi there, thank you for giving us this opportunity to speak. I'm here because I have to be, because I'm president of the Friends at CityLink, so it's kind of my obligation. And so we're a nonprofit organization. Board has 7 volunteer members. We have a Facebook page that gets over 2,000 likes. We've got a e-newsletter that goes out in support of CB Link that goes out to over 3,000 recipients, and we're all friends. So I'm really, and I've always considered Desert Healthcare a friend. So I'm expecting friendship to continue. So I'd just like to use some of your own words from your agenda here. Hoping that you approve the grant agreement between the Desert Healthcare District and Foundation Coachella Valley Association of Governments for CB Link. So let the friendship continue. Thank you.
Thank you. Erica Felci, do you want to speak in favor or against?
Yeah. Her review is coming up.
President Zendel, I'm actually here to deliver a letter on behalf of 30 of our local elected officials, as well as several former elected officials and notable community leaders. It encourages the board to support a final grant contract. The letter states that your continued support of CB Link will speak volumes to the community about the importance of investing in projects that encourages all to live healthy, active lifestyles. I have copies for the board, and I'll just read you the authors quickly. From Coachella, Mayor Hernandez, Mayor Pro Tem Martinez, Councilmember Bautista and Gonzalez. From Indio, Mayor Ahmed and Mayor Pro Tem Holmes. From La Quinta, Mayor Evans, Mayor Pro Tem Sanchez, Councilmembers Fitzpatrick and Rabbi. From Palm Desert, Mayor Nisandi, Mayor Pro Tem Kelly, Councilmembers Jonathan and Harnick. From Cathedral City, Mayor Aguilar, Mayor Pro Tem Gregory, and Councilman Carnevale. From Palm Springs, Mayor Kors, Mayor Pro Tem Polsage, Council Members Middleton, Woods, and Gardner. From Desert Hot Springs, Mayor Mattis, Mayor Pro Tem Griffith, Council Members High and Gardner. From CBWD, Board President Powell and Director Nelson. From Desert Sands Unified, Board President Wendy Jonathan. From Desert Recreation District, Board President Gutierrez. The letter is also signed by former Mayors Robert Moon and Sam Henry, former Councilmember J.R. Roberts, the CEOs of the Coachella Valley Economic Partnership and Greater Coachella Valley Chamber of Commerce, representatives from Desert Doctors and Lift to Rise, Palm Springs Regional Association of Realtors, the Palm Springs Hospitality Association Board of Directors, as well as a number of other notable organizations and community leaders. And I know my colleagues at CBAG greatly appreciate your support on this important project, and we all look forward to working with you as we construct the rest of the miles. And finally, I just say that in my other more important role as a mom, my son and I walk CD Link quite often, and I look forward to other families sharing that experience and us all maximizing the benefits of the project. Thank you.
Thank you. Gary Luders.
Thank you. My name is Gary Luders. I'm on the board of Friends of CD Link, and I think all of you have seen this. This is the list of 34 cyclists who were killed on our roads in Coachella Valley. The first one was Bob Gadini, Reverend Bob Gadini. He was a friend of mine in the local bicycle club in 2003. The third one down is Kim Rainey. Now, Kim really got my attention, and then from then we started keeping this fixed. So I want to show you this exhibit here. Okay, this is Kim from the Seattle area. She moved down here with her husband, with their bikes, staying in Palm Springs. Like most tourists, they want to go see the rest of the valley. The only way they knew how to go was on Highway 111. Killed in Cathedral City. You know, she could have been daughter, granddaughter, so this is pretty serious. I consider health in the word healthcare district as a safety issue. There's nothing more serious about health than being killed by a car. So just consider that as this is going to be saving lives, okay? Healthcare district, safety. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Evan Truby.
Hello, and thank you for having me. My name is Evan Truby. I'm a Palm Desert resident for 25 years. I also own a company called Big Road Tours. We do hike, bike, and jeep tours as well as bicycle rentals, so you can come and guess 5 foot on the station. I'm a lifelong cyclist as well. And I can speak a little bit about the CD Link and cycling in the valley from the cyclist perspective. I think you all understand also the benefits for joggers, walkers, the electric vehicles, et cetera, et cetera. But my perspective, of course, from a cyclist perspective, when I first moved here in the mid-90s, a typical ride of, you know, the folks you see out there with the light red and everything that you see riding with the bright colors, was maybe 6 of us getting together on a Saturday in front of traffic. And that was the cycling we've seen in the Coachella Valley. Now, on the same line, that we get together on Saturdays, and usually it's well over 100 riders. And you might have seen this happen in a big group. So the cycling community has grown tremendously. And I think just nationwide, cycling is a more popular sport. I can say for my business, when I started out 20 years ago, we had very few, maybe 10 bikes in our fleet for bike rentals. Now we have over 400, and frequently they're sold out. It's tourists, snowbirds, local residents, all, you know, as the sport is growing with all those demographics. I also want to say that, the one thing that I've heard a lot of in opposition to the CD Link is that it's a boondoggle for cyclists or, you know, a minority of the population. However, I think we all agree that drivers would really love to have the roads a little more cyclist free so that they wouldn't have to compete with us at intersections on the roadways as well. So I think it's a win-win for both drivers, cyclists, walkers, joggers, everybody. And the other thing that I think that it is in keeping with your mandate of achieving optimal health at all stages of life for all district residents. I think it's really in keeping with that, and I would urge you to hopefully approve the grant. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. For Linda Blackburn.
Good evening, folks. My name is Merlinda Blackburn. I am resident of Palm Desert, and I am also a committee member of the Sustainability Commission. And you're absolutely correct. When I look at your, my tablet is trying to find something. I don't want it to do that right now. When I look at your mission and organizational vision to achieve optimal health at stages of life, at all stages of life, for all the district residents, and connecting the Coachella Valley residents to health and wellness services, I believe the CV Link project does that. I was reading through the executive summary of the 2015 Human Impact Partners Report, and it talked about the benefits of the CV Link. I love outdoors, but I will not ride my bike in Palm Desert or anywhere else in this valley because I don't feel safe. And if we had an area that was dedicated to pedestrian and cyclists, I would use that. And I believe there's so many other folks that would do that as well. You think about the increased physical activity, it may depend on your budget, but it would provide better healthy residents for the Coachella Valley, and I wholeheartedly support project. Thank you.
Thank you. Tim Esser.
Supporter of the CV Link. I'm also a founder of the Tour de Palm Springs, which is a 22-year event. We've donated, I think, close to $4 million to local charities here. I do it because I find people that can do better than I can. And along with that, I really represent literally tens of thousands of cyclists from across the country, mostly across the country. And I did want to have them all send in letters to everybody, save you the spare of the time. But I can speak on behalf of them because I do get the emails. And we had an accident a couple years ago, or a year ago, a year and a half ago, as everybody remembers, drunk driver doing 100 miles an hour, killed one of our cyclists. And we get tons of emails back saying, come on guys, you're the most unfriendly cities, or should say the county, to ride a bicycle in. They said, we come to the Coachella Valley all the time, we don't know where to ride. We give them maps. And we do the best we can to keep them off the main roads, but it's very difficult. Now, when that person was killed last year, I think we all have kids. My kid was on that same route, doing the same ride, and thank God he was, you know, maybe 20 minutes up ahead. But I mean, you can't help but think every time we get on the streets, something's going to happen. Now, I've crossed country two times, and I'll be doing a third trip to the White House. I'm thinking probably from here to the White House, probably in another couple of years. We'll be doing it for the veterans again. I'm wearing my Patriot t-shirt because with the gentleman who was speaking with these low bikes, recumbent bikes, you can't see them. I've been on them. And cyclists can't see them. And also, they are wider bikes. We need to have a nice, safe place for them. Now, again, I've crossed country, like I said, three times. I've been out of how many states? A lot on bikes. So probably more than my car. Actually, more than my car. But every city, every state that I go through, they have really nice roadways that go through them. They go through the forest, they go through downtown, the washes, along the rivers. It's beautiful. Cyclists come from all over the place to ride. I ride with thousands of them going across the country. It's amazing who you ride up with. Our valley really needs that right now. Thank you for your consideration because it's very important. I don't speak too much in public on this issue here because I've got some hands on a full-time volunteer with the tour. But I can't tell you how important this is. And so tell everybody here, keep up the good work. Because all of us here, it's very important that we, you know, we keep up the health for our people here. And with that, I just want to say thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Greg Rodriguez.
Thank you, Greg Rodriguez. I live in Palm Springs. I actually wasn't planning on testifying, but I didn't want my body socks today. But I want to give a quick
perspective as somebody who actually lived right by the trail. Literally, my dining room and living room looked at the trail on a daily basis. And I remember when Kay talked about this trail, this wasn't just about for tourists and bicyclists. This was about for the health and well-being of our families and kids, just like Erica referenced. And I'm going to tell you, every day, the majority of people that walk that trail, that bike that trail, that skateboarded on that trail, were families and young kids. We talk a lot about obesity and our diabetes issues here in the Valley, and not to characterize the people on that trail, but I will. A lot of them are probably at a very high risk. And this is actually providing really good exercise and the ability for them to address those needs. Many of the residents from the Dream Home neighborhood as well lack the kind of recreational activities. So just as one who's seen the good that this has done, I really would encourage you to approve the grant. Thank you.
That's the end of the cards I have. Is there anybody else that would like to speak? Yes, please. Come up and state your name.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Rivera. I'm a resident of Indio. Similarly, I wasn't planning to speak. I was going through the packet kind of going into this meeting about some of the, you know, going through the letters that some folks had written in regarding CD Link. Kind of from my perspective, I do hear that a lot of the conversation is whether CD Link is good or not. CD Link sounds great. I know that I've been coming to some DHT meetings in the last few months, and I remember I was there when some directors were getting appointed. And a big standout question for me, because really before I didn't super know who Desert Hills District meant or what they did. I was away at college, I went away, so coming back to the community, I wanted to kind of invest myself in different boards and what was going on. And one question that was given to eventually the appointees was like, what are we doing about this $140-150 million with Desert Regional and retrofitting it within the next, you know, 10 years, I believe. And $10 million is a lot that can go maybe not just to that, to CD Link, to the hospital, to, you know, hundreds of programs that money can go to. So I think whatever the directors decide today, if it's yes, then, you know, CD Link can continue with construction. If it's a no, I don't think it's a no against CD Link. I think maybe it's just, you know, having the most impactful dollar for dollar, you know, with those $10 million. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other speakers? Okay, I'm going to close public comment at this time, and I'm going to ask the board members if they have any questions or if they would like to make any statements.
I have a couple questions about the CD Link, the differences between both parts that are being done. I live right by the Dream Homes one, so I know how that goes. But there's a lot of differences and inconsistencies. You say that it's for health reasons and it's to protect our bikers and everything, but what happened to the crosswalks? How are the bikers supposed to cross Ramon and Vista Chino if there's nowhere to go? There's no sidewalk. The nearest store is about a block away. So there's no safe place for these bicycle people to go. Also, there is no parking for them. There is no restroom, like the Palm Desert. The new portion of Palm Desert is going to be built with four restrooms. That 4.3 mile that's already built has no restrooms. Some of the guardrails are not where they're supposed to be, where all the rocks are, where people can fall into rocks. I'm wondering what was the problem there? How come it's so different? Is it because of the area that it's in? Or is it because something went wrong during the process of having it built?
I'll try to address each of those points. The quick answer is not different at all. We're not constructing any restrooms in Palm Desert. In fact, we're not constructing any restrooms anywhere. With respect to parking, we're not constructing parking in Cathedral City. We're not constructing parking in Palm Desert. We're not constructing parking in Coachella, and there's a reason for that. We don't want people driving to CD Lake. They will drive. There'll be a few folks, and certainly one time of the year, folks be driving, perhaps a lot of them from all over California and the country, to come to Palm Springs and use CD Link. But generally, we want people walking, biking, or even taking some motorized, smaller vehicles to CD Link. We want them to get off their butts and get to CD Link without using their automobile. It frankly is a condition of sorts of some of the money that we use to build CD Link. With respect to the first 2.5 miles, how many of you have been there? Well, you know, it's not perfect, to say the least. It's the first 2.5 miles. It starts at Ramon Road and ends at Vista Chino, or does exactly the opposite. Starts in Vista Chino and ends on Ramon Road. And in both cases, it stops at a roadway. The reason it does is because both Vista Chino and Ramon are going to be new bridges. And when the new bridge is constructed, we're building undercrossings under the bridges. And that's a huge benefit to the project. Our biggest challenges for bikers this low, as well as bikers up this high, is when they cross city streets and at their intersections and they're at these friction points along our major roadways. So the biggest cost of CD Link is to move people under roadways and over them with bridges. So at Vista Chino, the one that you're referring to, we're going to go underneath Vista Chino when that bridge is constructed, the same with Ramon, and we're doing the same thing in Palm Desert, we're doing the same thing in Indio, we're doing the same thing in Coachella, and there's no difference in the general cost of CD Link per mile, whether you're in a richer city or a poor city, except I can tell you, Cathedral City is going to be more expensive per mile than Palm Desert.
But in the meantime, that those bridges are being built over and under, because we don't have an estimated date for the bridges to be built. What are people supposed to be doing? Oh, they're supposed to get on the street to get across, or they're supposed to turn around and come back the same way that they left?
We do have estimated dates on the bridges, and CVAG is a regional agency. I didn't introduce our agency, but one of our big priorities is to build roadways. Working with Cathedral City and Palm Springs on both of those bridges. Both have been substantially funded with federal dollars. Both are expected to be under construction in the next 24 to 30 months. So making improvements, spending taxpayer, your money and our money on temporary improvements that aren't frankly that are expensive, doesn't make sense from a taxpayer standpoint. We're doing the best we can with what we have through the Dream Homes neighborhood. Just like Greg said, you could go up and down CD Link without crossing a single roadway. If you want to cross Ramon or Vista Chino, you use existing crosswalks.
Well, there's no existing crosswalks, so that's the problem.
We're doing the best we can for now.
Sir, you're planning 43 miles of roadway, and you're planning no comfort stations whatsoever, and you're planning no relief, and I'm thinking now mostly of water in the summertime. What's the expectation for people in this regard? Is the expectation that everyone be self-sufficient and have a huge bladder as well as being self-sufficient?
One of your assumptions was correct and the other isn't. One of the assumptions is we're not building relief stations or restrooms. We aren't, and I'll try to explain that. The easier one to address is water. We are building water fountains.
Thank you.
On the first 2.5 miles, you'll find 2 water stations.
Thank you.
And generally, you'll find water stations every mile or two along all of CD Link. And given our conditions in the summer, those are awfully critical. The reason we didn't build restrooms, and by the way, if the healthcare district wants to add some more money in for restrooms, you're more than welcome to, is frankly, not only the cost, but the cost of maintaining that. And unlike mountain trails or trails that leave the city, most of CD Link is next to Highway 111. And one of the things we're trying to do with CD Link is create a project that links to commercial areas and existing restrooms like the Palm Desert Civic Center.
where there are several restroom facilities like CMD, like areas in Palm Springs where there are existing visitor centers. In Palm Springs is one of our first stops. There are restrooms there. We didn't want to create something that was a duplication. We didn't want to create something that would cost us taxpayers a lot of money in O&M and a hassle to maintain restrooms that are only dotted every 10 miles on the Whitewater River channel.
Thank you.
Sure.
Carol?
Did you have another question there? About the restroom. You're saying that there's a restroom close to there, right? To the walk that's already put on there? Where's the nearest restroom?
The one you're referring to, on the first 2.5 miles, the closest restroom is public. It's actually in Ascena. There is a restroom in that golf club. There's another restroom. There's two restrooms in the restaurants on Ramon Road as well.
But they're available to people that are walking, because I know a lot of places close their bathrooms because of the homeless issue and everything else. They don't allow these people to use those restrooms.
Yeah, you can imagine if we put a restroom out there, we have the exact same issue. So it's a challenge. You put restrooms everywhere. We're trying to do this as fiscally responsible as possible and taking advantage of existing public restrooms wherever possible.
Okay, so you told me that there was no restroom in for the budget, or no, you said that they didn't want, that you weren't going to put no restrooms in the one in Palm Desert, but why is it in the estimate, in the engineer's estimate of total cost?
On the engineer's estimate that's in the 2000...
That's in the packet on page number 51.
Yeah, thank you. When we did that engineer's estimate, ago as part of the application for federal and state funding, we were thinking we might need one or two additional restrooms. One of those, frankly, in Coachella, where we have a long stretch between commercial areas. So it's possible we could put one in the future. But generally, in the middle part of the Coachella Valley, in the western part of the Coachella Valley, there are plenty of public and commercial restrooms within striking distance. And I repeat it, if CBAG and the healthcare district want to fund restrooms and their operations and maintenance, that's something we can consider in the future.
Carol?
Just to the director's point, real quick, it could be helpful to explain why that was our first segment. Cathedral City actually predated CD Link's intention of building a bike path on that area. And they secured funding. If you're familiar with that area, off of Cheetah Place, you'll see a sidewalk that comes up from the neighborhood. This is not to encourage everybody else to use this area, but this is where I access the building right now. But there's an area right there. The city is building a park, and the city envisioned a bike path. And when CD Link came along, they said, well, why are we going to build a bike path if you're going to build CD Link? So they put their funding towards CD Link, and that's part of the reason why that segment got built sooner. We were going to get money that we had to spend in a certain time period from Cathedral City. They secured through the state, and so that was that's why that segment was built first. Your points about bridges and such are we understand them, and we're addressing them as we build the bridges so we can do the undercrossings. I would point out though that when you get to Ramon, there's a sign at Ramon, but there's also that side street that you can take, and I always forget what the side street's name is. But if you go back behind the commercial center, it does take you up to a crosswalk on Ramon.
And the health care district is participating with the city on the construction of that park. Is there a grant? I believe so. I think there's
the health assessment for the neighborhood.
No, do you know what you're talking about?
The park is going to be if it is approved, it's going to be funded by Proposition 60.
Yeah, I have a question for that. Council. My name is Nancy Frequenta. Also, I'm a board member for the School on Data Control, living in Ring Homes. The park is not guaranteed that the city will get the money. They put the application, they are trying to change the same application you do for 3 rounds. Maybe the first round is already gone, probably the second one, but we are still not getting any answer. If they don't get anything, they have to wait for the next year.
Okay, I'm going to intercede here because we've got a lot of cross back and forth. So, directors, please ask your questions of Tom or of Jeff, And if further information is needed, we'll have to attend.
Are you done? Yeah, go ahead. Thank you. I just wanted to say that I've been privy to see other...
I think it's on.
Am I on?
No.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Thank you. I've been privy to see other areas in the country where bicycle paths, walking paths have been built. And what we're proposing here is will be a major boon, a major boost to the health of our community. This district has been in business as an elected board since the early 1940s, and we have had major impact on health and wellness in the community. I mean, you can see by the parks that we've built, the organizations that we've supported. And when the district makes a promise to fund a project like this, which we did 5 years ago, I think that it is incumbent on us to be able to follow up on our word. It would give a very bad precedent of this board to promise an organization to support them financially and then turn our back on them. I think that that would be a devastating precedent to look at and this board to consider.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have another question. Okay. Good evening, everybody. Thank you all for your public comments. We greatly appreciate those. I have a handful of questions. For the benefit of the public, you, in our report, it says that you've secured $103.1 million. How many miles have been completed to date?
About 3.5 miles.
Thank you. In the new agreement, we say that the district will only be able to review, audit, and inspect district-funded programs operated by CVAG alone. What is the program that we're funding these $10 million for? Is it a segment of miles? Is it the whole thing? What will I be able to review, audit, and inspect?
It's the whole thing. The district is not contributing a dollar for that square foot of pavement. Your funds will be mixed with others or build the entire project. All the project materials are open to your inspection.
Why do I not have in my packet an audit of this project? I've asked for it.
Do you have an annual audit?
Oh, we have an annual audit. There's not an audit of the project per se. The project hasn't been constructed yet. We only have the first 3.5 miles.
On page 51, you have given us a detailed engineer's estimate and total project cost. It's from 2016. Do you have an updated one? Have project costs gone down? Have they gone up? Are they the same?
We will have an updated one as we bid out the project, which we'll be bidding out the project in the next couple of months. 15 miles. Palm Desert also has an engineer's estimate that will go out as part of the bid package for a part of the project that's built in the city of Palm Desert. The engineer's estimates are updated every few years, and prices do change. You're used to hearing in government that prices always go up. Believe it or not, they've actually gone down for 10 years after the Great Recession, but prices are rising again on construction costs.
When you act on the commitment to build CD Link, the cost of living, minimum wage will increase, there will be an increase, as you're mentioning. Will you keep putting this project on hold until you have all of the money? Because as you, my first question was, how much money do you have and how much miles? We have a number that you've secured. You said you've only billed 3.1 miles. I'm assuming 3.5 miles. I'm assuming it's because you haven't had the full funding to do everything?
No, your assumption's not on point in this case. Believe it or not, we've had all of the money to build the project long before we start construction. And that's a bit unusual in my business. When we built Jefferson Interchange, and we started construction, we didn't have all the money. See, Link's unusual. We actually secured the funding before we started construction. Will CD Link be more than $100 million in 2 or 3 years? It's possible, yes. The funding is there. Well, how can we have built it? Because we're acquiring the right-of-way. And Jeff Scott worked very closely with us on the right-of-way documents. It's not as easy as one might think. The land where we're building CD Link isn't owned by CBank nor the healthcare district. We have to acquire licenses with entities like the flood control districts and underlying landowners that could include tribal lotties. So it's a complicated process, and it's one where we're nearly done, we're almost done with acquiring the right of way about 15 miles next year for next year's construction.
So my conundrum is that I have a estimated and total projects cost from 2016. You said that that prices will increase as you continue to build this. You said you don't have an updated version of this to share with us tonight. And you just now also said that you have all the funding to create this project to completion?
We have the funding to substantially complete it. And who knows what happens over the next 5 or 10 years. Prices could come up, prices could go down, there could be another worldwide recession. It's hard to say what will happen in the future. What I'd like to share with you is the commitment you made in 2013. The commitment you made in 2013 wasn't a commitment that said CBAG will build the entire project. This is something that's maybe a surprise now. The commitment you made in 2013 was, we're in for $10 million, CBAG, you put up $20 million, let's go out and try to find at least $30 more million. $60 million even then would not have built the project. It was going to be a start. We planned, we've far exceeded our expectations on how much money we secured for the project, and we far exceeded the expectations that were a part of that healthcare district CVAG MLU. If the project goes up a little bit in cost, you're held harmless. Your only commitment is $10 million, and we're going to build a whole lot more than was ever expected in 2013 with your and our funding.
I only have a couple more questions. You have on your secured budget $17 million from mitigation funding from a Desert Hot Springs plant. I am on your website in your maps. Where it says community connectors and future extensions, those are in Desert Hot Springs. So right now, none of the money that you have will build a trail in Desert Hot Springs today. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, the main line of CU Link is only along the Whitewater River and very close by. As I think everybody recognizes here, the Whitewater River doesn't run through Desert Hot Springs. What you're referring to
is... But you did get the $17 million from mitigation funding from a Desert Hot Springs.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. That's it. That was my question.
You and I have worked on that at the same time. You also know mitigation funding from that power plant went as far as Coachella. And thermal.
Yep.
A lot of it.
And those Desert Hot Springs.
May I respond? Desert Hot Springs, in fact, was included in the original application for Sentinel air quality funding, and the city itself pulled itself out of our project. I would love to have had a connection up to Desert Hot Springs. We are still going to get there.
I promise.
Is that the case for the Eastern Coachella Valley too?
If you'd like to do another batch, you can come in and I'll bring it back to our board.
Thank you for that. I'll consider. I think I have one last question. I have comments, but are those related?
I have a question. I'm a little confused about something. Can you tell me how many dollars you have in commitments and how many dollars do you have in cash? And of the money you have in cash that is obviously not being used quite yet, how is that money deployed for investment purposes?
And perhaps for benefit of the audience in particular, commitments versus cash. I'll give you an example. If this board were to approve this grant agreement, we would continue to consider it a commitment, not cash. Correct?
I'm interested in the hard number, cash money, and its investment profile.
My point is the commitment you have made and hopefully recommit to tonight is a commitment, not cash.
Agreed.
If this board approves this, you don't hand CV back $10 million. All of the commitments for CV Link are the same except for CVAG's own commitment. We have a $20 million commitment to the project, which one could consider cash. We go out and pay for things for CV Link. We use our cash, and oftentimes we get reimbursed by others. All of the other commitments are non-cash commitments that are reimbursable after submittal of acceptable reimbursement forms.
How much cash is in the bank?
$20 million of that.
In the totality of things, $20 million of the $100 million is in the bank as we speak.
Some of it
sure.
Is spent.
Roughly, plus or minus.
Some of it's been spent.
Yeah, and that's deployed in what investment profile?
Now you're asking about our Lake and County Treasurer investments. They're all in very low-risk investments, earning all of 1% return per year.
Thank you.
I didn't understand the question. Thanks for focusing my attention.
I think I just need a clarification. Obviously, you have spent money and you have submitted receipts to funders and gotten some reimbursement from those funders. None from us as of yet. We think in the next year, $1.6 million or so. How many receipts have you submitted to funders about and have you gotten back?
Approximately $5 million.
Thanks.
Approximately 5%, I was thinking of construction dollars and design engineering right away, so $5 to $10 million.
And some of those have been paid out of your funds, and some of them you've submitted receipts to get reimbursement from other potential.
It's almost all reimbursable from outside agencies.
Okay, got it.
Well, I have a comment.
Are there any questions before we move to comments? Then let's move to comments.
Okay. So, back in 2013, I was involved in the project behind the scenes. I never thought that I would be sitting here 6 years later and be part of the same conversation. A lot of pros and a lot of cons of both sides, but I do have a new responsibility, and I take the same responsibility that I appreciate the fact that staff has been taken on very seriously, in that the decision was made in 2013. However, the expectation is that we do have the obligation to ensure that the project is moving forward the way it needs to be moving forward. So I do appreciate the fact that staff has been working very closely with you to ensure that that is happening. And I expect that that would also continue should this move forward, that we will continue to have a positive relationship that we can question. Same as very good question that had been brought up here tonight by my fellow board members. We can question because that is our responsibility. But from my position, I think that's the role that I see myself taking on as a question, but I support the project because of the fact that it's already a decision that the healthcare district before me has taken on, and I'll continue to ensure that my role as questioning and accountability is continued on.
So, this time, good. First of all, congratulations, $103 million in commitments isn't an insignificant project in the area. And that's pretty impressive. And I realize it's not all in the bank. Our $10 million commitment isn't in the bank yet. And that's pretty important. I was around when this happened. And in fact, I read the minutes, I made the motion.
How soon we forget.
Anytime someone walks, runs, or bikes, it's a good thing. And I walk, I don't run, I bike a little, but I'm more of a yoga guy. I don't have that. But anytime someone's moving, it's good for health. And so that's a good part. The problem that looms here is one you can help us with. When the district expanded, there was no money associated with the expansion. Everybody got to vote for it in the expansion area, but there's no money. The only taxpayers are the ones that were in the previous district and the people that I represent, and primarily. So somewhere, somehow, there's two or three ways for us to find more money. One of them is our lease and agreement with tenants coming up between now and the end of this decade. Close to the end, not the end, but right in there somewhere. And frankly, having been part of the original agreement with tenant, those of you who were around at that time, if you were, we were teetering on bankruptcy, things were bad. We're not very good at running a hospital, and say what you will. I've been in the emergency room, I've been there with people. It's a heck of a lot better run than a public board of people that are making these kind of decisions are doing. And if that deal comes together sometime in the next 1, 2, 3, 4 years, we're gonna need a public vote, and we're gonna need a lot of support. So when you put the two attorneys together, they sort of worked out this drip out the money over a couple of years, because we're gonna need every vote. We cannot extend the lease without going to a vote of the people. And frankly, CVAG has access to a whole lot of elected officials and all the people we gotta talk to about that. And that may solve the funding problem for the East Valley. Because we frankly don't have enough money to do what we've been doing. I'm advocating we gotta cut off the grant program. Because we don't have enough money to even get out of the lease at this point. But that's not a very popular opinion to have, and I'm glad these people around here are voting and keeping it together. But we need to find a transitional point there. And frankly, CVAG as a partner is probably to our advantage. So on reflection here, and whatever, still, it's a mighty thing that you put together $100+ million. And maybe there's more, and maybe there's whatever. And originally this was to be spent in the existing district, and I still, I love the notion of the expansion. I'm not too enthusiastic that one group of taxpayers pay for it and the other doesn't, and that's much more complicated than that, but it's complicated. And there is a solution down the road. We just don't have it yet because it's a complicated deal to put together, but we may need you for that, and sooner rather than later. So personally, I've kind of come around on this. I didn't think you'd ever raise $100 million, candidly. And I know you don't have it, but that's not many organizations around here can put together $100 million. And so, Mr. Chairman, I'd move approval of the initial grant, and which is a long way from the last meeting. and you understand why. And but we need you probably as much as you need us.
I second.
Okay, I want to say a couple things. First of all, I think if there were two things to balance and we only had enough money to do CB Link or some project tomorrow, we needed the money and it was ready to go, we would have to weigh the two things and decide what was best for the community. But there isn't another project that's ready to go now. And the grants that are coming to us, we have enough money to fund as of now. So I don't think we're in that situation. Secondly, it was a commitment that was made. And a lot of the money that was obtained subsequently was made because we made that commitment with CBAG, and they were able to go out to other places and get additional money. One word of caution, though, and that's that although I'm glad that CVAG and the district are going to work on trying to come up with quantitative health analysis to show the health benefit of this, it's going to be hard to quantify that. I mean, don't forget, 31 or whatever number of people have been killed in the last 10 years or 15 years from bicycle accidents. So how are you going to measure a change in that? You know, there'll probably be more bikers and bicyclers, and there may be other health issues that are brought out by all of a sudden people exercising. So I think that although I want to see numbers as the CBLink expands on use and satisfaction and things like that, I think it's going to be very hard to measure community health impact. So let's be careful about that. But I support the project, and I'm going to vote yes on the motion. Are there any other comments before we call the thing?
I am an active runner and hiker. I don't cycle. But it's very impressive that other people can and what they've been able to achieve. I will be a user of CD Link once it's up and running, right? You invited me out in July to check it out. No way, it's 120 degrees in July. I have the full knowledge that you will be able to fundraise $10 more million for CD Link. I'm not sure that other people that we support with the district's funding will have that same kind of access to the funding that you do. The way I've seen it at our board meetings the last couple of weeks, there's been people who have been asking us for a fraction of that money to help scrub down schools that have been affected by mulch fires, that are asking us to help figure out water situations in mobile home parks. I know that's not what you're all here to discuss, but that's how I'm seeing it. I don't believe that I have all of the information I need today to support this project. More to note of the projected cost of this project, my question wasn't answered if we'll be able to review and audit and inspect the whole project. So I will not be voting in favor of this agreement tonight.
Any other additional comments?
I have a comment. My comment is that.
Is it on?
I think so. I understand how important bike running is in the valley, but there are a lot of other things that we are facing in the valley with the new expansion that kind of puts us in between what is more important. Right? I'm not trying to say that bicycling isn't important, but like Karen said, we do have people in Mecca and Thermal that can't drink their water. They have to go to school. These kids have to go to school at a school that is damaged or whatever. I don't feel comfortable voting yes for this only because of how we have just added the new expansion. And I feel that my community members
that I represent would not be happy with me approving this. So I'm doing it for my community members, the people that I represent, because ultimately they're the ones that put me where I am. So I'm sorry, but I will be voting no.
I just want to remind those of us on the board that when this project was initially funded and booked, that the funds that we committed, the $10 million, came from taxpayers in the West Valley. And we would be criticized if we did not use the funds that were designated for this project. So I think that is something that's very important to consider.
Yeah, I just want to add to that. When we first met with Assemblyman Garcia, Raul Ruiz, and others on the district expansion, there was funding tied to it and got pulled out of the bill during, you know, the after legislative process. So there's no money. And so it really gets down to we need more money to deal with the problems in the community. And we're working on a couple of solutions there that could raise serious amounts of money. But everything we do requires a vote of the people. And I've sat around here and said, we don't have enough money left, even to get to the end of the lease. We don't have enough money to get out of it. We don't have, we're gonna bankrupt the thing if we don't figure that out. And I think that would be a bigger tragedy. And I love the expansion of the district. I just got to figure out where we get the money for it. Because there are serious needs, I totally agree with you, but we don't have any money for it.
If there are no other comments, then I think we'll call the roll.
Director Shore.
Yes.
Director Borja.
No.
Director Perezio.
No.
Director Rogers.
Yes.
Director Matthews.
Yes.
Director DeLauro.
Yes.
And Director Zimmer.
Yes. Okay, thank you very much. We are now going to finish the agenda and then we'll take a small break, but first, legal comments and report.
This one we should
thank you. All right. Are there any director comments at this point during this part of the meeting? Okay. And we'll go ahead and adjourn this part of the meeting. We'll take a 10-minute break and we'll come back to the foundation.